Today's share is Masechta Chulin, Daf Tzadik Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Aleph, Amud Aleph, at seven lines from the top, Toshma. We have learned in the previous share that the Machlokes of the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, if when the Torah says we may not eat the Giranosha, does it mean the right one or both? Tanakama, Rabbanan hold that one may not eat both Giranoshas. Yehuda said that it means the right one, and as we learned the Braisa quoted the words of Rabbi Yehuda, Vadas Noita, it seems that it's the right one. And the Gemara is in the middle of trying to understand what does Rabbi Yehuda mean with those words. Doesn't mean that it's a final decision, that it means specifically the right one, or doesn't mean that he has indeed a question if it means the right one or the left one. And he's saying it probably means the right one, but it's not that he could say so definitively. Says the Gemara, Toshma, maybe we can learn an answer to this question from the following braisa. It says, Ocho, Mizek Kazayis. If somebody ate a Kazayis of the good Anosha of the right side, and then a Kazayis of the left side, Saifik Shmoini. He gets two sets of Malkus. Because the opinion of Tanakama, as we just said, is that for both good Anoshas, both the right and the left, Malkus is administered. Rehuda holds and a Saifik Alaraboyim. He only gets one set of Malkus. So Gemara makes its point. Iyam b'shalom mishit pshitalei. If we say Rabbi Yehuda is for sure that for the right one you get Malkus, and for the left one you don't get Malkus, so what happens is very obvious. Before he ate the right one, he got hasra, and therefore it's considered a full-fledged aveira for which he gets Malkus, and for the left one he doesn't get Malkus. Eli Amit Sukim Saptalay, if we're going to say that he has a suffix, if it's the right, if he doesn't know definitively, if the Torah meant the right or the left, have Laser or suffix. So this remains the situation that before each act of Achila, it's going to be a suffix. And as the Rishonim point out, it has to be discussing a situation where these two Achilas, these two acts of eating of the Giran Nosha, were two separate acts. Because if they were one act, even the Rabbanan would agree that you would only get one set of Malkus. So it must be two separate acts of eating. And before every act of eating, he got a separate hasra not to eat it. Now if we know for sure that he's not allowed to eat the right one, and he got hasra before he ate the right one, we could very well understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. But if we don't know which one is the one that's really usher, so it remains here a situation of Asura Safik. Vishaminan le Rabbi Yehuda. And we know that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that Asura Safik lo shma Asura. And interesting to point out that I saw that Rav Shmuel Rav Zosky asks, why is Asura Safik not considered a valid Asura? Is it because since it was a Asura Safik, so it's not a proper Asura? And we know in order to give somebody a punishment for an aveira that he did, it has to be a full-fledged proper hasra, or is pshat that the entire aveira that was done with a hasra suffix is not considered an act of mazik. And he points out that there would be a real nafkamina. The nafkamina is if it's considered that he did the aveira b'mazik, we're just not giving him an onish because he didn't have a proper hasra, so he's certainly considered a bal aveira. And he would be disqualified, for example, from being an eight. If, on the other hand, because there was a hasra suffix, it's not considered at all as if he did an aveira, then he would still even be perhaps a kosher eight. The Tanya. So again, the Gemara wants to prove that Rabbi Yehuda holds that hasra suffix lo shma hasra, because the halacha, as we learned, Masechta Yevamos and Masechta Ksubos, is that after a woman's marriage is terminated, she should not get remarried for 3 months. The reason is because if she becomes pregnant, we won't know for sure who is the father, the first husband or the second husband. Our braisa refers to a situation where a woman did get remarried during this time, and she had a baby, and therefore this person, this child, is not quite certain who is his father. And we know that the Torah teaches us that it's a very serious avera for someone, chas v'shalom, to hit or curse a father. The Tanya, so the braisa says, if first he hit one of these individuals and then he hit the other one, or he hit both of them at the same time, or she killed shneim v'as achas chayiv. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Yudaimer, if it happened v'as achas, that he hit both of them at the same time, and before he did this act of hitting or this act of cursing, he was warned that if you will do so, you're doing the Aveira, so that's why he's chayiv. B'zachazet. But if he did it one after the other, so every act was preceded with a act of with Asra Sofik, he holds its potter. So we obviously see that Rabbi Yehuda holds Asra Sofik Lashma Asra. So it must be that if Rabbi Yehuda said in the case that we began our shiur today that there is that if he ate the two Gid Hanoshes of one animal, he will get Malkus. It must be that he got that we know for sure that the right one is the Asadiga one, the prohibited one, not the left one, and therefore the Hasra before eating it is considered a full-fledged Hasra. So we have an answer to our question. Answers the Gemara, it isn't necessarily so. Because high Tana Sovel Kid of Tana Rabbi Yehuda. It could be that the Tana of this Braisa has a different opinion regarding what Rabbi Yehuda holds regarding the halacha of Hasra Sofik Lashma Hasra. And he's going to actually say that it is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that Hasra Sofik is Shema Hasra. How do we know this? The Tanya. Because the Braisa teaches us regarding not leaving over from the current Pesach. The Pasuk says, L'sisir menu abayter. One may not leave over from the current Pesach till the morning. And if one does leave over, it should be burnt. Says Rabbi Yehuda, why is the Torah saying that there's an essay after the Lysa say that if you leave over, burn it? Because that's the reason you don't get Malchus for leaving over Noiser, because it's a laugh and not a nitik, let's say, the Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, we know, as we learned from Sef the Malchus, that a lav hanitik say that a lav that could be corrected is not considered a situation for which you get Malchus. And that's why Yehuda says that every time we have a situation of noiser, it's a lav hanitik say because it could be corrected by burning in the morning. Interesting point that I saw that the Turi Evan makes. We know that the halacha says the Turi Evan is that noiser may not be burnt by night. Noiser may only be burnt by day. So now the question he says is, if noiser may only be burnt by day, so why isn't the burning of noiser, the mitzvah say, of burning noiser, considered a mitzvah say shazman groma? That we know women are exempt from mitzvah say shazman groma, and therefore the halacha should be that it's not, for at least for women, a lav hanitik lase. That's a point that the Tori Evan makes. So Tori Evan says that just because noiser may only be burnt by day doesn't make it into a mitzvah seishas man grama. Because as we've learned from the Tori Evan previously, it is the opinion of the Tori Evan that whenever we have a situation where a mitzvah doesn't expire, it's not considered a mitzvah seishas man grama. Lulav, you can't take Dalaminim after Sukkot. You can't blow the Shofar after Rosh Hashanah. That's why they're considered Mitzvah Asei Shezman Groma. But this is not considered a Mitzvah Asei Shezman Groma, the din of Noiser, because it could be burnt later, even if it only could be burnt by day. That's the Tory Evans opinion. Others, however, explain differently. They say it could well be that the mitzvah of burning of Neisr is indeed a mitzvah asay, says Man Groma. But even though we're considering it a mitzvah asay, says Man Groma, it doesn't change, they want to suggest, that it would be Chayiv Malkus. Because they say a very beautiful pshat. Why indeed is there a halacha that Rav HaNitik L'Asay doesn't, you don't get Malkus? So they explain, because what does the Onish, what does the Malkus usually accomplish? What the Malkus usually accomplishes is it takes away the Aveira. If, however, there's another way for the Aveira to be removed, and that is by getting, by doing the assay, then there's no reason to get Malkus. So could well be, he says, that it's a mitzvah assay, shazman grom, but there's a way to correct it, and women can burn the Neisr as well. That's why there is no Malkus. Yaakov Eimer, Yaakov says there's a different reason why there's no Malkus by Neisr. Loimen Hashem Uzer, the reason is, because Shem Lehavilei Lav Shem Meisr, Neisr doesn't involve any Meisr act, you just left it over. We call Lav Shem Meisr, and when it's a Lav Shem Meisr, ain't liking enough. The Ritva explains, why doesn't Reb Yaakov agree with Yehuda? So they explain that Rav certainly agrees to the concept of Lav HaNitik L'Asay. But he says, here we need the Pasuk of a Noisa Mena Baita Ba'ish Tesroifu to teach us that Noisa may not be burnt on Yontif, it may only be burnt on Chol HaMoed. But what's the point here? The point here is that why does the Gemara have to explain, why does Rav Yehuda have to explain that there is no Malkus for Neisr, because it's Lav HaNitik L'Asay. Every situation of Neisr is a Hasra Sofik, because it's the middle of the night, and I'm telling the person, if you leave over, this will turn into Neisr. But we don't know for sure if he's going to leave over. So by definition, it's always a Hasra Sofik. So why didn't Rav Yehuda say that's the reason you don't get Malkus? It must be, because Rav Yehuda doesn't subscribe to the concept that Hasra Sofik Loshma Hasra. And that's why, in the case, it could well be that if he ate the right Giranosha and the left Giranosha, and he gets a Hasra Sofik, why does he get Malkus? Because Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned with Hasra Sofik. So we still have a question, how to understand what Rabbi Yehuda meant regarding his statement that it's the right one. Toshma, so the Gemara attempts to bring a raya from another Braisa. The Braisa says, he ate two gira noshes from two different sides, from two sides from two animals. The Tanakhama holds soifik shmeinim. The Yudaimer and a soifik alaboyim, he only gets one set of malchus. So the Gemara makes its point. The fact that the Braisa is speaking about a situation about two sides from two animals, it must be they're from the same side. Shita the Tavayli Surah. Because if it's from the two different sides of an animal, then the Braisa would not have needed to speak about two different animals. The Braisa could have spoken about one animal. Why is the Braisa speaking about two animals? Because if it's from one animal, it's only one is Asur. Now that we want to say that they're both Asur, it must be they're from two different animals. And the Gemara and the Braisa is saying that from two different animals, both are the right side gira noshes. Rabbi Yehuda says yechayiv. Shmamina mesher pshitalei. From here we see that it's clear that Rabbi Yehuda knew for sure that it's the right one, that it's asur, not just it was his thinking that way. Shmamina. So the Gemara has proven that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's the right gira noshes asur, and the left one is mutter. Ask the Gemara. If that's how we're now explaining the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, v'mishet pshitalei, that for the right one yechayiv. So why in this case, where we ate two gir hanoshes from two different animals, why am I soifik aboyim? Why does he only get one set of malchus for sugoi? Little kishmoinim, he should get two set of malchus for each act of eating. And again, we have to repeat what the Rishonim teach us, that it must have been two separate acts of eating. For if it were not two separate acts of eating, then the Chachamim wouldn't say that you should get two set of malchus. Answers the Gemara, Hachamai Skinen, we're referring here to the situation, to going to Lesbe Kazayis, that each Geranoshe itself did not have a Kazayis. But, as the Gemara says, the opinion of the Rabbanan is that a Gir HaNoshe doesn't need to have a Kazayis in order to be Chayiv Malchus, because a Gir HaNoshe is considered a barrier, and for a barrier, the Rabbanan hold Yechayiv even without a Kazayis. Whereas a Yehuda doesn't agree with that, and therefore a Yehuda needs the two Gir HaNoshes to combine to the sheer Kazayis to get one Malchus. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, Achloi V'ein Boi Kazayis, if somebody had a Gir HaNoshe that doesn't have the size of a Kazayis, the Rabbanan hold you still Chayiv, if you don't have a Kazayis, there has to be a Kazayis in order to be Chayiv. Why is the Gir HaNoshe considered a barrier? Because, explained the Rishonim, it is a separate, independent entity and falls into the category of a barrier. Similar to what we find that the Torah says that a Namola, that you're Chayiv for eating an ant, even though a Namola certainly doesn't have the proper shear, it doesn't have to have the proper shear, you're Chayiv. So if so, ask Tosfos, why by Tevel do you have to eat a Kazayis of Tevel to be Chayiv? Each Chita, each kernel of wheat should be considered a burial. So the Machlokes Rishonim how to answer this question. Tosfos answers, it depends how the Torah describes the Isser. When the Torah describes the Isser of a Namola, it calls it a Namola. When the Torah, as we're learning, describes the Isser of Gir HaNoshe, it calls it the Gir HaNoshe. When the Torah speaks about Tevel, it never says the word Chita. So the Torah doesn't give each kernel that significance, and that's why Tevel is different than Gir HaNoshe or Namola. The Ram says it makes a difference that the only time we say the concept of barrier, says the Ram, if it comes from a living thing. So the Gir HaNoshe comes from an animal, and the Namola is a living ant. A Chita doesn't come from a living thing, and that's why the halacha of barrier doesn't apply to a Chita. Now that we've identified that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's the right side Gir HaNoshe that's Asur, ask the Gemara of Tamamai, what is the reason that he holds the right one and not the left one? Amarava, Amakra, because the pasuk says Hayerech, which means Hamiyumanis Shebiyerech, means the more significant side, and we know that the more significant side is always the right side. The Rabbanan, who, as we've been describing, as we've been learning, hold that it's both Gir HaNoshe that are Asur. What will they do with this word Hayerech? Answers the Gemara to teach us Hahu the Parshat Isur B'Kol Yerech. As we're going to Mitzvah Shem learn, there are two actual nerves, and there's a question which is the nerve that's considered the Gir HaNoshe, and say the Rabbanan, the one that the vein goes through the entire thigh is considered the Gir HaNoshe, which is called the Gir HaPnimi, and the Fuki Chitzon, to say that the other one, the loy, is not considered the Gir HaNoshe that the Torah refers to. Rav Shimon ben Levi gives a different reason why Rav Yehuda holds that it's the right one, not the left one. Amakra, because the pasuk says, Bi ha'afki imai. The Torah, we know that the entire din of Gir HaNoshe comes from that episode that we were describing extensively in today's shir, where Yaakov had this battle with the Malach, and it says, Bihi afka imai, ka adam shechoivik es chaveroi, v'yodam agas l'idinkaf yimina shel chaveroi. It's like when somebody has a fight with another person, and the person wraps his arm around him, and he goes, when two people face each other, my right side is facing your left side, and if I stretch out my hand to embrace you, to grab you, it goes all around your back until the right side. And here the Malach went all around the back till the right side, and that's where he pushed the Gir HaNoshe out of its place. There's another way, says the Gemara, how to understand this battle. Ha'ayt kechavim nidmala. The smalach looked to Yaakov, you know, like an akum. And therefore Yaakov was indeed concerned that he would be attacked by this akum. And therefore the halacha said the Gemara is Yisrael shenitbala ha'ayt kechavim nidmala. If a guy meets up with a Jew along the way, the Jew should make sure that the other kacham is on his right side, Teufel Yeminon. And that's why he made sure that the Malach that should be on his right side, who looked him like an Akum. And that's why when the Malach indeed hit him, he hit him on the right side. Rashmul bar Acha Kamed Rapap Mishmed Rabba Ulama Ketam Chacham did Malach. He actually looked like a Tam Chacham. Domer Mar Hamahalach Lamin Rabbi. Somebody walks to the right side of his Rebbe, Hare Zebur. So therefore, since this person, this Malach, looked to Yaakov Avinu like a Talmud Chacham, Yaakov Avinu was careful to make sure that he should be to his right side. And again, when he attacked him, he was on the right side. The Mefarshim explained that we know that this Malach was actually the Sarah Shalaisav, the Yetzahara. And they explained that this is exactly the way that the Yetzahara operates. The Yetzahara is always trying to trip up the person. So sometimes the Yetzer Hara appears to a person like a Talmud Chacham, and therefore telling the person the Aveira that he wants the person to do is actually a mitzvah. And sometimes the Yetzer Hara sees that the person is vulnerable and just tries to convince him to do any Aveira. And that's why here the Gemara is teaching us the two methods of the Yetzer Hara. Come along the Rabbanan. That we know that the opinion of the Rabbanan is that both sides are asr. Again, Mechure asr, that this Malach attacked Yaakov from the back, for Nashi v'tavayu. And again, Mefarshim, along the same lines, explain what happened according to the Rabbanan. What happened according to the Rabbanan is that when does the Yetzer Hara find a person vulnerable? When the person isn't on guard to protect himself. He comes from the back. And that's why he was able to attack Yaakov Avinu. The Chasam Sofer has another interesting pshat. He says that we find that Yaakov Avinu did two aveiros. One aveiro was that he married two sisters, and the other aveiro is that he was lax in the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Ein all those 22 years that he was away from his parents' home. So says the Chasam Sofer, why did Yaakov indeed, says the Medrash, marry two sisters? Because even though Yaakov was careful to follow everything that it says in the Torah, that was only in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz. So that's the first thing. He said to him, you acted like an Akum when you were in Chutz La'aretz. So that Aveira. The other Aveira that we said, says the Chasam Sofer, that Yaakov Avinu transgressed was Kibbutz Av Ein. Why did he transgress it? Because he was sitting in yeshiva, and he therefore thought he was exempt from Kibbutz Av Ein. So he saw himself, you think you're a Talmud Chacham, and that's why you didn't do the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Ein, for that you need to be punished. Rabbanan obviously disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they hope, as we just learned, that both sides are asur. How do they explain the word be'afki boy? Answers the Gemara, mechboi le'lechidach Rabbi Shul ben Levi. Don Rabbi Shul ben Levi, the avak, the dust, came up to the kisei kavod. Ksiv hocha biyofki imoy. The ksiv hotson va'anak avak raglov. And at the first, explain what does this mean. So they explain that we know that whatever we speak about in aveira, there's the aveira, and there's also the avak aveira. The avak aveira is like the dust, the derivatives, not the real serious Aveira. And what was happening here, they explained, was Yaakov Avinu's actions were being examined. And they even examined the Avak, the small particles of his Aveira, and they were able to find that everything he did went up to the Kisei HaKavod. Everything he did was perfectly proper. V'amr Yishuv Ben Levi, Lama Nikr Shmai Gira Nasha. Why is this called the Gir HaNasha? Shenasha M'Kaimai. Because it moved out of its place. Vala. It moved upward. The Kano Oimer. Nasha Sugvarasam. The Pasuk says their strength sprung away from them. Hayu L'Nasha. They became weak like women. Amar Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina. My diksiv, Dovar Sholach Yaakov v'nofel b'Yisrael. Something was sent from Yaakov, and it came, it went across all of Klal Yisrael. Zeh Geranosha. This is referring to the Geranosha v'nofel b'Yisrael. Shiposhet Isura b'chol Klal Yisrael. That we know that all Klal Yisrael doesn't eat the Geranosha. So the Mefarshim asks, of course we don't eat Geranosha. The Torah says they were not allowed to eat the Geranosha. So what's the Gemara trying to teach us? So the Tiferes Yaakov explains that the lesson here is that the lesson of Geranosha is the lesson that even though the Malach wasn't able to prevail over Yaakov Avinu, the Malach was able to prevail that in over the generations, the Yotzei Yerech of Yaakov will not always be able to be okay and they'll be in Golos. And that's what the Navi is telling them, that we learned the lesson of the Gid Anosha, that the reason we are in Golos, that we're not in the proper place, is because we're being attacked by the Malach HaMavis, by the Yetzer Hara, because we fall prey to him, that's why we are in Golos. The Pasuk says, when Yosef and his brother met, the Tvayach Tavach Vahachi. Tvayach Tavach means Paralahem Beis HaShchita. Exposed for them the Beis HaShchita, Vahachi, Tol Gura Nashu Vefneim, remove the Gura Nashu, make sure, show them that the Gura Nashu was removed, Tamir Anot, Tamand Omer, because this follows the opinion, Gura Nashu, Nesl of Neinoyah, the Yaakov, we spoke about the Shvatim already were not allowed to eat the Geranosha. Ask Tosfos, who says that that's what the pasuk means? Maybe just like they were careful to only eat meat that was properly slaughtered, even though it was before Kabbalah's Torah, so too it means that they were careful not to eat the Geranosha, but not that it was absolutely awesome to them. So Tosfos answered that the pasuk, by saying v'hochein, means to say that otherwise it was awesome. So what the pasuk is teaching us, that the Geranosha, they had to, was al pidin asur. The shechita was something they were machmer. But the question is, if they were machmer in shechita, so how could they eat from the shechita of the house of Yosef, who are akum? The halacha is that you're not allowed to eat from the shechita of an akum. So some indeed explain that what the pasuk means is that prepare the makom hashechita for them, but that the actual shechita was done by the shvatim. Another pshat is that why that before Matan Torah, as long as somebody wasn't an Oved Avodah Zarah, his shechita was permitted. And there's a raya, because we know that Yitzchak was prepared to eat from the shechita of Esav. Now how could Yitzchak eat from the shechita of Esav? It must be because Yitzchak did not believe that Esav was an Oved Avodah Zarah, and perhaps he indeed wasn't, and therefore he was allowed to eat from the shechita. Another pshat that I saw is, why is the halacha that you're not allowed to eat from the shechita of Akum? Because the halacha is that you're only allowed to eat the shechita of a person who's mechuyev to eat meat which is properly slaughtered. But since the halacha, that only meat that's properly slaughtered may be eaten, wasn't in place yet, so this halacha, that only a bar achila, the only somebody who could only eat kosher meat, could check kosher meat, wasn't in place yet, and that's why they were allowed to eat from the shechita of the family, of the household of Yosef, even though they didn't obviously know that Yosef was that it was Yosef and his children. The tzlach had a different approach and how to answer Tosef's question. Because the Tzlach explains, why did Yosef have to show them both the Shechita and the Gid? If they'll see that he was careful with one mitzvah, he's obviously careful with all mitzvahs. So the Tzlach explains, because when he showed them the Shechita, it wouldn't be enough, because as we learned and we're going to discuss again, Mitzvah Shem, that removing the Gid Hanasha is much more of a tircha. So that's why, even though he did the Shechita, doesn't mean that the Gid was removed properly. And must be, therefore, that the Gid Hanasha is Asur. Because if the Gid Hanasha weren't really Asur, then it would be enough to trust that from the Shechita. It must be that it wasn't enough to show him the Nikra good, because the Nikra Gid is also the Raisa, and that's why they couldn't rely on the Shechita. So why don't you just show them the Nikra, and that should be a Raya to the Shechita? The answer is, since they weren't obligated in the Shechita, they were concerned that nobody was doing the Shechita properly, and that's why they had to watch the Shechita as well. Another pshat that I saw from the Beis Afrayim is very much connected to our Gemara that we learned just the other day. An issue that we discussed the other day. We discussed that the Rishonim asked, why is the Gid Hanasha ever Osir? Why is it Issachal al Issir? Because of Eva Menachai. So we gave a number of answers. But one of the answers we gave was because Eva Menachai is an Issalav, and Gid Hanasha is an Issalav. So even though the Gemara said that if something is Osir because it's Kotshin, so it's an Issacharis, so that Ein Issachal al Issir prevents this lab of Gid Hanasha being effective, but since Eva Menachai and Gid Hanasha are both only Isurei Lav, we don't have an issue with Issachal al Issir. So now let's think about it. If this animal, if Gid Hanasha was only a Chumrah in the times of the Shvatim, so then we should say Ein Issachal al Issir. It's already also because of Eva Menachai. The fact that the Shvatim were concerned with Gid Hanasha is a raya that was already in Issa Lav. So even though there's Issa Eva Menachai, which already came from the Shiva Mitzvah of Bnei Noach, there also could be an Issa Gid Hanasha. There's a raya that the Issa Gid Hanasha is actually an Issa Daraisa. The Yivasa Yaakov Vadon, the Gemara describes that entire set of events till this act. Vivasi Yaakov Vadoi, Omer of Lazar, Shnishtair Apachim Ktanim. Yaakov remained, went back to get the Pachim Ktanim. Yikam at Tzadikim, Shechavalein and Moinim Yosim Gufim. They're more interested in their Momin than in their Guf. The Kolkach Lamoi, why? The Fisha Ein Pashtim Dei Megezel. So the Gemara is teaching us that the Yaakov Avinu was a person that went back for these small vessels. And as the Das Kenan Balatayse says, the Yavasa Yaakov Levadoi, Al Tikri Levadoi, Elo Lekadoi. He went back for his battle. And Farshim, of course, all ask, how could it be that Yaakov cared more about his little vessels than he carried, than he was concerned about than he was concerned about being in danger? So I saw many answers. The simplest answer, of course, is that when Yaakov Avinu went back, it was still daylight. And therefore, he certainly was allowed to go back. It turned dark unexpectedly. That's one pshat that I saw. Ramey Shapiro gives a different explanation. He says, by most people, they have material items, and they have ruchnistic items. He says, a tzaddik, even when he has money, what does he need money for? What does he need material items for? Everything that he needs material items for is just that he should be able to use it with tzarech mitzvah. He could buy a dalaminim and he could buy a shofar. So if so, there is no gashmius by a tzaddik. And since there is no gashmius by a tzaddik, that's why he remained for it. The Ben Yoyada gives a different explanation. We know that this episode happened on the night a Pesach, which is the middle of the month, and therefore the moon was shining, and the moon shining, he explains, looks like two people. So Yaakov Avinu wasn't really going alone. Then it got dark, and since it got dark, that's why he ended up being alone. Another pshat that I saw from the Michta Meliyahu, he explains that there is nothing more valuable than time. And at Tzaddik, every moment of his life is spent in Avodas Hashem. But of course he needs to spend some time needing to work so he should have what to live on. So every minute that he loses from that, he's losing from time that he could do avodas Hashem. So that's why, even for these material goods that he shouldn't have to replace and work to replace, that's why it's considered a davar ruchni. Another shot that I saw, that these pachim were actually, pach was the forerunner of the pach shemen, that we know from the story of Chanukah, and had the shemen of the shemen amishcha for the mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. So they weren't pure Gashmi's items, and that's why he went back for them. And in fact, the Mefarshim explained, that's what we say in the song, the Gemara's Tzor, on Chanukah. Ominoyser kan kanim nasa neis v'shoshanim. B'nei bina yimei shmoyna kovu shiru nonim. Ominoyser kan kanim, from the pach that was left over in the time of Yaakov Avinu, that pach was the pach that was ultimately used, nasa neis v'shoshanim, was the pach that was used to the great neis that happened on Chanukah. So the Pasuk says, V'yavik im ishimai adawai sheshachar, Amr Yitzchak, V'kal atamut chacham shlo yetzi yechidi b'layla, atamut chacham may not go out alone by night. Farshim point out that there's actually two Gemaras. Here Gemara says that atamut chacham may not go out alone at night. The Gemara says, L'olam al yetz adam b'chitav, anybody should only go out when it's light. So how do we reconcile these two Gemaras? So the Pasukim say there's a difference if you're traveling nearby, staying in town, or you're traveling further away. Traveling nearby, only Talmud Chacham has to be careful not to go at night. When you're traveling further, everyone has to be careful not to go out at night. However, I saw that the Pesukim do say that traveling on the highways, even at night, Bizman Hazeh, is not an issue, even though it's a longer trip. Firstly, because the highways are illuminated with lights. And second of all, because there are many other cars traveling on the highway, so that's why it's not considered that you're doing something wrong. Rav Abba bar Kahanama, a different source, how we know that one shouldn't go out at night, because the pasuk says by the story of Naomi and Rus, Hine hu zoras goyin asayrim. Naomi wanted Rus to have an encounter with Boaz, and she said to him, I know he'll be there at night. How did she know he'll be there at night? Because she knew he wouldn't go home alone at night. Rav Avu Amar mehocha, Yashkem Avram Aboiker, V'yachfash Asanei, in the morning by the Akeda. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos has difficulty with that pshat, because Tosfos says that at that time Avram Avinu wasn't alone. He was together with Yitzchak and Yishmael and Eliezer, so that has nothing to do with being alone, that he should have to wait for the morning. And because of that, Tasha Tosfos says that that's not the episode that the Gemara is referring to. Tosfos says the Gemara is referring to the episode where Avraham Avinu got up to be mispalel for Tzedon. How do we defend the Pshat of Rashi? So the Chasam Sofer defends Rashi's Pshat by saying that we learn from here exactly the Gemara's point. That if in the story of the Akedah, where Avraham Avinu was going to do a mitzvah, and he wasn't alone, he still was careful not to go out only by day. Certainly, when it's not, when we don't have all of those conditions, one, a tamchok should be careful, ayetzi yechidi belayla. Rabbanu say to Rai that ayetzi yechidi belayla is mehocha. The pasuk says, leich na ro'oi shloim achich l'shloim. Yaakov sends Yosef, and he tells him to go in a time, re'ei, where you could see what's happening. Why? Because you shouldn't go at night when it's not, when you can't see what's going on. Rav Amar mehocha, the Yizrach Lea Shemesh, Amar Bekiva. Shalti Yisrach Gemuyev to Vishur Be'etla Shalomim. I asked the Gemuyev to Vishur and Etla Shalomim. Shalom Cholikach Tahem El Mishta Benoy Shere Gemuyev. When they were there buying animals for the Chasna of the son of Gemuyev. So Farshim say, why do we need this entire story to tell us they were there buying meat for this wedding? So I saw a number of pshat. Of course, the pasuk pshat is to teach us that a Talmud Chacham is always supposed to be speaking and learning. He's going to buy meat for a wedding, but he's still supposed to be careful to speak and learn. Another pshat is to show us that a Talmid Chacham, a Nasi Shemachal Kvaidai, Kvaidai Machal. And therefore, even though Gamliel was the Nasi, if he wanted to go out and buy meat, he could be Machal on his Kavit. Another pshat that I saw from the Minchas Yitzchak is that we know the terrible fate that happened to Nadav and Avihu. The Minchas Yitzchak explains why did it happen to them, because they never got married, and someone who doesn't get married is subject only to the Midas Hadid. However, someone who gets married, so he is looking to continue the world, to perpetuate the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. And we know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he also wanted the world to survive. So what did he do to make that the world should survive? He combined the Midas Hadin with the Midas Harachamim, and therefore the world is not only subject to Midas Hadin, with Baruch Hashem, we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu that runs the world with the Midas Harachamim. But that all comes from a person who has the same intention as HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in creating the world, that we should have children and perpetuate the world. So they wanted to show how important it is when a Jewish home is created, that they themselves were the ones that went to buy the meat for the wedding. Another pshat that I saw, going back to the Gemara that we learned earlier in the Perek of Isaac Espinoy, that if somebody is busy making a wedding and the chosen side and the kallah side come to buy meat, we have to inform them that the mother or the baby was sold not to be over the aveira of Isaac Espinoy. But the question is, can we trust the merchants to tell us that? And we need to also be enough of Talmidei Chachamim to ask the question. That's what the Gemara says, the Talmidei Chachamim who knew the questions that need to be asked were the ones themselves who went to buy the meat, and they were careful to go to a butcher who they could trust would tell them the truth about the Oitzav Espinoy situation. So the Pasuk says, Ksiv, V'yizrach Loya Shemesh. The sun rose for Yaakov Avinu when he was traveling, running away from Esav. So the question is, V'chi Shemesh Loy Levad Zarcha? Did the sun only shine for him? V'loy L'chol Olam Zarcha? The sun goes up for everyone. Amar Yitzchak, Shemesh Habob Avora, the sun went down prematurely, as we'll soon see, Zarcha B'furei came up on his behalf to heal him from this wound on the Giran Nosha. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, V'yeitzi Yaakov v'esheva v'yelech harona. The Ksiv, b'rivka b'mokah. So, the Pesukim seem to contradict each other. First, the Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu went all the way to Charan, which is past that Yisrael. But then it says that he was in Beisel. So how, if he was raised by Charan, how did he get back to Beisel? Says the Gemara, Kimata l'Charan. When Yaakov arrived to Charan, Omar, he said to himself, maybe I passed the place where my forefathers davened, Vani loy hispalalti, and I didn't daven there. I have to go back to correct this mistake. Says the Gemara, Kiyar datel mehader. So when he decided to go back, Tetzisrael to Beisel, Kovtzle Ari, he had Kvitzis Hadera. And I saw a beautiful verse from the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav says that he didn't have Kvitzis Hadera on the way going, because on the way going, he was fulfilling the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avim, that of course, that they told him to go in that direction. So there was no reason for Kvitzis Hadera. Only, on the contrary, every step was a mitzvah. On the way back, however, when now he's not doing any more the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Ve'Ein, that's when he had Kvitzis Haderech. Says the Gemara, Ki Yav Gatel Mehedah, Kofzalei Ara, Miyad Ve'Yifka V'Mokam. Katzali, Bala Mehedah. So he davened. And the Mepharshim say, he davened Ma'irif. And from here, in fact, Tosfos says, we see that one could daven Ma'irif even by day. Because as we're going to see now, only now, it got dark. Furthermore, the Mepharshim explained, this is the ride that Tfilas Arvis is Rishus, because he wasn't sure if he should or shouldn't daven. And that's what Meir is all about. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tzadik Zeh Bala Meis Lana Yosta Balayluna, the Tzadik should come to my home and he should go away without staying over. Yad Ba Shemesh, the sun came down and it became night, and therefore he didn't travel, because as we're learning, a Tzadik is not supposed to travel at night. Sif, so the Pasuk says, V'yikach mi'avnei amokim, there were many stones. V'ksiv v'yikach es evin, there was only one stone. Arav Yitzchak Malamish niskap sukol es avon amokim echad, all the stones gathered together. V'am kolach su'achas omer alay yiniyach tzadik zeroyishoy, the tzadik should put his head on my head, on me. Tana v'kulam nivav echad, they all came together. The Farshim explained that this was a lesson, that this was the Makom HaMikdash. And every stone, there were 12 stones representing the 12 Shvatim, and every Shevet wanted that the Beis HaMikdash should be in his portion. What happened was, they all came together, and the stones, everybody contributed. The Beis HaMikdash belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. The Rambam says, but even on one stone, there's one spot where your head is, another spot where your head isn't. So how did the stone molding together help? Says the Amriyamis, as soon as there's Achtus, as soon as the stone is all together, there's no difference where you are. V'yachad v'linyan sulam mutzav artza, tana kama rafash al sulam, how wide was that ladder? Shmanis alofim pasos, 8,000 pasos. Diksiv, the Pasuk says regarding this ladder, v'inim malachi alakim oylam yardim bayim. Oylam is shnayim, there are at least two malachim going up, yardim shnayim, v'chibad bahad adadi. So when they meet in the middle of the ladder, Havel Abu, we have four malachim. The Ksibe b'malach, Griyasa k'tarshish, the width of a malach is like the sea of Tarshish. The Gemir, the Tarshish, Talei Alpha Parasava. So 4 times 2,000, 8,000, which is something like 18 and 24,000 miles. Tana Oilam Stakim v'yuknish shemalach. They went and they saw Yaakov Avinu on the Kisei Kovit. The Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu Surah is Kakuka B'tzise Kovit. Yod Mistakim V'yuka Shemata. Balas Kunei, they wanted to harm him. My, Miyad Hashem Nitzav Olov, Hashem protected him. Amar Hashem Ben Leokish. Amalim Mikri Kosev, Yev Shalom Rai. Ka'odim Shein Apanoi, just like a father protects his son and chases away the flies or fans him, they shouldn't be hacked. So too that Hashem Kaviyako protect Yaakov Avinu. Haaretz Shetoicha V'leo, the land that you are on, I will give you. My Ravu say, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Malamit Shekifla, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kol Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put together all of Klal Yisrael, V'nicha Tachas Yaakov Avinu, Z'neicha L'Kavdash L'Banav, that should be easy for his children to have, because it was already his, he already made a kinyan in that property. I saw that the Marsham says, this was a place that he davened. From this place came the Kedusha for all future generations of the Bati Knesset and the Bati Medrash, the Klal Yisrael. So the Malach, after this episode, says to Yaakov, Shalchein ki Ola HaShachar. Omloi, so Yaakov says to him, Ganavata, Kivyusasata, you a gambler, that you're scared of the day where all the people you owe money to will come to get their money. Shemeshyarim in HaShachar. Omloi, Malach ani, M'yom Shnevres, Logiyaz Mani, Loi Mishirat Akshon. So there's a famous verse, if the Malach knew that this was the day that he's supposed to say Shira, so that's the day that he goes the whole battle with Yaakov Avinu. Say to Mepharshim, the Malach, as we've been saying, is the Yetzirah. And the Yetzirah's purpose is not to make us do Averis. The purpose of the Yetzirah is for us to overcome the Yetzirah. So when Yaakov Avinu was successful in indeed overcoming the Yetzirah, so now the Malach says, I've accomplished what I'm supposed to accomplish, and now it's my time to say Shira. Said the Rambam, "Sayla Rav Chanan al Amarav, Damer Rav Chanan al Amarav, Sholosh Kita Shemalach Esharas Armi Shir B'Kol Yoyim." They say Shir every day. Achas Emeres Kodesh, V'achas Emeres Kodesh, V'achas Emeres Kodesh Hashem Tzavakish. Meisvei Chavim Yisrael Fnei Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Brisa says the Klai Yisrael more Chaviv Yoyim Shemalach Esharas. Yisrael Armi Shir B'Kol Shal. We say any time. Malach Asher is Erem Asher El Pamach B'Yom, once a day. Vamalei Pamach B'Shabbos, once a week. Vamalei Pamach B'Kodesh, once a month. Vamalei Pamach B'Shan, once a year. Vamalei Pamach B'Shmuel, once every 7 years. Ramat Pamax B'Yav once every 50 years, Ramat Pamax B'Yav once in their existence. Yisrael Maskim Hashem Achas Shtei Tevers, Shnei Mishma Yisrael Hashem, we say two words Shvei Yisrael, and we immediately say Hashem, Machashas Maskim Hashem Allah Achas Sholosh Tevers, Kedisiv Kodesh 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 Shem Tzavakos. Ve'enem Lachashiz Oymer Shira L'malo, furthermore they can't say Shira Hashem Yisrael L'mata, Shnei Mabiran Yachvat Koyachver. First we get up in the morning and say Shira, V'adav Yerib Le'el Kim. But here it says that they only say after three words, whereas Rav Chananel said they say it after one word, Kaddish Hashem Tzvakos, Ela Achas Amr Kaddish. The way to understand Rav Chananel is one says Kaddish, V'achsam Kaddish Kaddish, V'achsam is Kaddish 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 Hashem Tzvakos. Vika Baruch. But don't they say Baruch Kvar Hashem Mim Kaimai, which is after two words? Answers the Gemara, Baruch Afanim Huda Amri Loi. Only the Afanim say it, not the Malachim, and Malachim are in a high Madrega, as Tosfos explains. People say Kim and Yav, Rishus Yav. They don't say it until after three words. But once they say after three words, then the continued Shira could be saying the Shem Hashem even after two words.